All right. For those of you that know me, my name's Kevin Craycraft. Actually, for those who don't, you go the other way around. So what we're going to talk about tonight is warning combustion alert. Now, I just want to prepare your minds for what's going to be presented tonight. I'm going to touch on a bunch of somewhat complex biblical topics that, if set aside, you could really dig deep into them. But for the purpose of tonight, I'm going to tie some perspectives together to come up with a common theme. So that's the goal for this evening. This is my third time doing this service, giving the message, and this was actually the first thought to cross my mind to do, but it's taken a while to pull it together. So hopefully tonight it comes across the way I wanted it to. But we're going to be touching on some biblical themes that I think most of you know about, but hopefully they haven't been presented in such a way that's going to make you think the way I want it to make you think. Combustion. So first of all, this combustion is not going to come from the positive, meaning you're on fire for Jesus. That's not the purpose of tonight. The purpose of tonight is combustion is coming from the negative perspective. First off, what is combustion? Combustion, the definition is the act or instance of burning. If I were to take a match and I strike the match, what's it doing right now? It's burning. Everything that's coming off during the act of combustion, it's breaking molecular bonds. Once it breaks molecular bonds, it's released. But the good thing is, if you're able to grab everything, to grab the vapors, to grab the particles that were released and bring it all back together, you'd be able to have that match as one whole piece again. But we all know that that's probably physically impossible. But the object is there. So combustion, the act of instance or burning. What we're going to do is look at some combustion ratings of things to get an idea as to where we stand as humans. So first off, a rock. What's the combustion rating of a piece of rock? Zero. Good, whoever said it over there, that's great. Combustion, what's this one? Logs. 10? Combustion rating is actually pretty low. If you put a match under a log, is it going to ignite? No. So we're still relatively low. We're at about a 2. Next we have cardboard. The dreaded cardboard. We get boxes and boxes of things, and it just lays in your garage. You don't know what to do with it. You end up burning it. So that's about the middle of the road. We're talking about a 6. Sometimes if it's a windy day, you stick a match under cardboard, it's not going to light easily. It's going to take a while. Next, we have newspaper. A crumpled up piece of newspaper is pretty combustible when you stick a match under it. We're going to give that an 8. Next. What's that? Gasoline. That's pretty darn combustible. We're going to give that a 9.5. We're not at the 10 yet. Okay, we're not at the 10 yet. We might reveal what a 10 is, but gasoline is not a 10. Now, the next item, there's a lovely picture of a male and female human in the skeletal muscular form. What are humans? We combustible? We don't know. What we're going to find out tonight, we're going to find out we are. We are going to find out we are. Why are humans destined for combustion? This is the one main model that we're going to show tonight, and I'll actually move this over here, so those people can get a good view of what's going to be taking place in that fire pit. Why are humans combustible? Why are we destined for combustion? What we're going to do is we're going to study the makings of a good fire. There's going to be different steps involved at making a good fire. Those who have experienced camping or whatnot, Boy Scouts, you know how to make a good fire. There's certain steps you have to do to make a good, long-lasting fire. And I'll tell you what, there's some similarities between who we are as humans and the steps of making a long-lasting fire. Step number one, you start with a good foundation. A fire needs a good foundation. Strong, hardy, long-burning logs. You stick those down at the base of the fire before anything else. Because once the fire starts up top, it starts making the ashes and it starts building upon that foundation of the fire. So step number one is good, long-burning logs. Now, the similarity between that is the biblical theme of what we call original sin. Original sin. We all know what the original sin is. Okay? We all know it's what Adam and Eve did in the garden, making the choice to eat from the tree that God said not to. And I looked up a pastor who was pretty funny. He said, original sin, you can't look at it the fact that you try to do something that's never been done before. He says, every time I try to think of an original way to sin, and it doesn't come across, the police or ambulance always gets involved. There's no original sin that you can do that hasn't been done previously by humans. Okay? But the original sin of what Adam and Eve did in the garden was making that choice to eat from that tree. And I don't want to look at that particular passage, but what I want to do is let's look at directly after they did what they did. Genesis 3:16-19 says, to the woman he said, I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing. With pain you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. To Adam, he said, because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground. Till you return to the ground. He's telling them you are going to return. Since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. He's giving them a pretty harsh reality check here. You made the decision, the first sin, and because of this, not only are you going to be cursed because of this, all generations are going to be cursed because of this. So this is our foundation, folks. Our foundation is original sin. We're born into this world. We cannot remove it from our lives. We have it. It's part of us. And if you saw in the previous two scriptures, woman and wife were in blue text. Because something of interesting that most people don't know is when that scripture was written, Eve didn't have her name yet. She wasn't named until later. So pretty much it was just Adam and the woman and the wife. So when everyone says, Eve caused Adam to sin, well, technically, no, she wasn't named yet. After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way back to the tree of life. Sounds to me like one ticked off landlord. Not only did he kick them out, he's preventing them from ever going back. He's pretty ticked off, but yet he blessed Adam and Eve because he knew that this was his plan, his work, to further mankind. He knew that his plan going forward, so he continued to bless them. This is original sin. So what I'm going to do is, of course, those who know firewood really well, what's the best type of hard-burning wood? Oak? Harder than oak. It's impossible to ignite, man. You need to like, get a good fire going to burn this stuff. Locust. Here's a nice chunk of locust. It's It's pretty darn heavy, too, but unfortunately it doesn't fit in the fire pit I got. So what we're going to do is we're just going to start off with a smaller piece. We're going to lay it right down in the fire pit there. That's going to be our foundation. Our foundation is original sin. We cannot do anything about it. Step two, we have somewhat of a medium, intermediate combustion source. You can either use newspaper, but through my experience camping and doing fires at home, newspaper almost burns too quick. It doesn't ignite anything. You get this stuff called door flame or quick start. Anybody ever use this stuff? It's pretty good stuff. You can put a little chunk in it. Yeah, I taught you how to use it. You put a little chunk of this on top of your foundation before you get to step three. This is going to give you pretty good combustion going into the fire. So this is our step two. This is our intermediate source. And in parallel, this is Satan in our lives. So our foundation was original sin. And now the next step, we have Satan. I have a question. Who is Satan? Who's Satan? Married guys, I don't want you to say my mother-in-law. Okay. Where is the definition of Satan in the Scripture? Anybody know? If you were to ask the average person on the street where the definition or the passage that describes Satan is, the person who probably doesn't know the Bible too well is going to probably say, it's probably in the beginning sometime before man came. But two of the best passages describing who Satan is and what he did to deserve what he did is actually in Ezekiel and Isaiah. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read those passages. The first one is from Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel 28, 12 through 17. He says, Son of man, take up a lament concerning the king of Tyre. Now, when he was referencing the king of Tyre, he was going beyond that, referencing Satan himself. This is what the sovereign Lord says. You were the model of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone adorned you. Ruby, topaz, emerald, creosote, onyx, jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and beryl. Your settings and mountings were made of gold. On the day you were created, they were prepared. You were anointed as a guardian cherub, for so I ordained you. You were on the holy mount of God. You walked among the fiery stones. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created till wickedness was found in you. Through your widespread trade, you were filled with violence and you sinned. So I drove you in disgrace from the mount of God and I expelled you, O guardian cherub, from among the fiery stones. Your hearts became proud on account of your beauty and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. So I threw you to the earth and made you a spectacle of you before kings. The next passage is from Isaiah. Isaiah 14, 12 through 15. How have you fallen from heaven, O morning star, the son of dawn? You have been cast down to the earth. You who once laid low the nations, you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of assembly, on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself the most high. But you are brought down to the grave, to the depths of the pit. Satan himself wanted to be more than God. So he was cast down to earth. And when that passage says he was cast down to earth, what does that mean for us? He's going to be a part of us. As long as we're living on this earth, he is going to be a part of us. So step two is Satan. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to add step two to the fire. I have pre-made little chunks of this stuff because it's a whole lot easier than putting a big log into the fire. So what we're going to do, since we don't have a good foundation, we'll just stick this down here somewhere. So that's a pretty nice chunk of it. So we have our foundation. We have our intermediate burning source. Step three, something you put on that ignition source to start the fire, kindling. You can't start a good fire without kindling. And it's got to be dry. You got to have dry kindling. The parallel for this is human nature, our sinful nature. It's who we are. We have our foundation. We have our logs, our long-burning logs. We have our initial burning source, which is Satan in our lives. Now, it's up to us. We have our own sinful nature to deal with. This is the intermediate burn stage of a fire. It cannot be lit by itself, more than likely unless you have really, really dry kindling that's really, really thin. And it can last a good bit on its own, but if you don't add anything to it, it's going to eventually burn out. But when it's in composition of a good fire, it's critical. It is critical to have the fire. And this is our human nature, folks. Our sinful nature. Galatians 5:16 through 18 says, "For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature." For those of you who came to my December message talking about having a perfect blend, I talked about things that did not blend, absolutely did not blend, and I referenced this verse. The Spirit is a capital S, meaning the Holy Spirit. Our sinful nature, they don't blend at all. They are in opposite directions. Romans 7:15 through 19. "I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate to do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this is what I keep on doing." Paul wrote this. And I'll tell you what, the first time I really dug into this scripture was when I was doing the Truth Project. For those of you who have done the Truth Project, Mr. Del Tackett did a great job of Focus on the Family doing that. I had to rewind the DVR or the DVD a couple times to get a hold of this verse. This verse is deep. Basically, the last line, "The evil I do not want to do, this is what I keep on doing." It's our human nature. It's our sinful nature. So that's step three. So I got some kindling. Can't be a good camper without kindling. Okay. Step four. Gasoline. What's gasoline called? Fuel? What else? Oh, what's that? Say that louder. An accelerant. It speeds up the process. Now, if you're a good enough outdoorsman like myself, you don't need gasoline. But for the average person who's lighting a charcoal grill, lighter fluid is basically the same thing. They're going to pour gasoline on here. Pretty much, it's an accelerant. It speeds things up. It's pretty much an instant flash point. It's an instant flash point. Temptation is this step. Think about it. We've got original sin laying at our base. We've got Satan mixed in there. Then we got our own sinful nature on top. And now we got temptation sprinkled all over the top. What's going to happen here? Temptation certainly speeds up our combustion process, doesn't it? Let me ask you this. Does Satan just tempt the weak? Does Satan just tempt Christians? Matthew 4, 1 through 10. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. Not only does Satan tempt the weak and non-Christians, he went after God himself. Satan thought that if I can't be the Most High, I'm going to tempt the Most High. Of course, most of you are familiar with the three temptations. We're going to review them really quickly. Temptation 1 was stones into bread. Remember, Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights in the desert. Who's ever fasted one day? Who's ever fasted 2 days? I about keeled over when we had a fast here the other time. It was like, 30 hours? I think I was going to pass out. 40 days! Satan comes up to him and says, turn those stones into bread. Of course, what did Jesus do? Jesus recited Scripture. Not only did he recite Scripture, God's Word, he recited it from more than 400 years earlier. He took it from Deuteronomy 8:3, almost word for word, because he himself is God. Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. It's amazing. He combated Satan with what was said over 400 years earlier. To the T. Temptation 2, throw yourself from the top of the mountain and rely on God, your Father, to save you. Jesus' response, direct out of Deuteronomy 6:16, do not test the Lord your God. Temptation 3, bow down to Satan, and all kingdoms of the world will be yours. Jesus replied, direct from Deuteronomy 6:13, fear the Lord your God, serve Him only, and take your oaths in His name. Serve Him only. Do not serve anyone else. James 1:12. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, under temptation, because having stood that test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love Him. There's a silver lining in this. We'll talk about that in a little bit. That's temptation. Probably wondering, well, you put the other three into the pot. What's he going to do with this one? Well, we got a little gas can here. It's not just water. Oh, I love this smell growing up. Don't worry, I got a tarp down. And don't worry, at the last elders meeting we did vote on this. Of course, I was the only yes vote. But we did vote on this. So what I'm going to do is just add a little bit more. You didn't need that, did you? We'll let that soak in a little bit. Oh, I do have one other thing just in case things get out of control. We'll just leave that there as a precautionary tool. So, step 5 is what? We have all the markings in place, all the steps in place for a fire except one thing. We don't have the spark. We don't have the flame. We don't have the source of the ignition. The parallel to this in our lives, folks, is something called free will. God didn't create man to be robots on the earth, to go around and do what He pre-programmed us to do. God created us in such a way where He gave us choices. He gave us a mind to make our own choices and live our lives. Going back to Genesis, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good and for food and pleasing to the eye, also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Took some and ate it. The sin didn't start with eating the fruit. The sin started taking the fruit. That's like everyone going, I'm gonna start a diet. I'm gonna start eating healthy. I'm gonna stop eating cookies. Well, then why'd you put the cookies into your cupboard? Why'd you buy the cookies to stick into your cupboard? That's the first wrong decision. Decisions build on each other. You got to think. It's not the most immediate decision. Sometimes it's four decisions back that caused you to be in the root of where you are. She took some and ate it. She made two decisions there, not just one. James 4:4. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Enemy of God. Not a passing acquaintance with God. Not a formal acquaintance with God. An enemy of God. Enmity means actual hatred, if you look it up. Hatred against God. God is love. Hatred against love. This is free will. This is the icing on the cake. We are built for combustion. If you look at all those steps and all the basic foundations, the logs, the intermediate burning source, the kindling, the accelerant, now we got the flame. And yes, we have the flame. Like I said, the elders did approve this. Would anybody like to do this for me? I practiced it once and I got a singed eyebrow. No? No volunteers? All right, we're going to stand far back away as possible. Oh, there's a nice little puddle in the bottom, so we're just going to ignite it. Ah! Just kidding. It's not lighting. Why are we built as humans for combustion, but yet when it comes time to it, it doesn't light? What is it? We are destined for combustion. Our eternal life is destined for combustion. Why doesn't it light? I'll tell you why. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ conquered sin and death. In a couple of weeks, we're going to be celebrating Resurrection Sunday, Easter, when He conquered sin and death. This is our eternal model of how we're built, our eternal lives. Once we accept Jesus Christ into our lives, there is no burning. No matter how that fire is built, there's no burning. He overcame the world. In John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. Take heart. I have overcome the world. Thirdly, Jesus chose each and every one of you. You didn't choose Him. He chose you. John 15:16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. This is why the world hates you. This is the type of hate I like. If the world hates me, so be it. If I'm full of Jesus Christ and the world hates me, so be it. That was model one. Anybody catch the play on words there? Eternal perspective. Another round of applause for eternal perspective. Okay. That model is our eternal perspective. Okay? When you accept Christ as your Savior, your eternal soul is saved from the eternal burning of hell. That's eternal. Now, what I want to concentrate on is the daily perspective. Because I'll tell you what, there's a little difference here. There's a little difference here. Free will. Free will in our daily lives, is it truly free? Think about that. Is it truly free? Temptations and the decisions we make will ultimately affect us and affect others. There is burning in our daily lives. Right now, each and every one of us have a fire burning inside of us because of who we are. We are sinful. Some of us may have some smoldering ashes that it will just take a little brisk of air and you're going to be ignited. Some of us have some small fires burning here and there all inside of us. Some might have a pretty nice sized inferno burning inside of us. You're not going to stop it. It's who we are. It's our daily perspective that we are going to have fires going on inside of us. Good news is, James 1:13 says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. I want to repeat that last phrase. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. We can't avoid it. If you can avoid it, please come see me. I want to know how you do it. You can't do it. First Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. Oh, thank the Lord. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. A lot of us are familiar with this verse. He will not tempt you beyond your means. He's not going to send down a glowing angel to sit right at your side at that moment of decision. He's not going to do that. He might do that. More than likely, He's not. There's pretty much three items that you can utilize here. Time. Take time to make decisions. Satan is going to attack young. He's going to attack old. He's going to attack people in the middle. You're not exempt. Satan is going to attack you where he knows he's going to get to you. But time. Take time. The most decisions you make, it's proven. If you make a decision, a snap decision, it's going to be worse than taking the time to think about it. Two, resources. Have resources, an accountability partner. Have someone that's going to know who you are that you can go to and say, hey, I got this tough decision. I want to run it by you. Lastly, prayer. Go to God. Seek Him. Seek His divine direction. He will answer you in prayer. This is us, folks. We are burning. Whether you realize it or not, we are burning. We can't help it. Like I said, no matter who you are, blonde hair, brown hair, black hair, 5'2", 6'8", you fall under the umbrella. Our days start with decisions. Our days end with decisions. Some of us, like I said, it takes the small fanning or some material out and we're still going to burn. What happens to a fire if you start stoking it? What happens to a fire if you start throwing more wood on top of it? What happens? It grows. Some of us have done that so long, we've got some infernos inside of us. And we got to help control those. Most of the time, our decisions and indirectly our flames affect each other. What happens to a fire if it gets too close to something else that's combustible? If there's a raging house fire, what happens to the house next to it? It's going to get some effect. It's either going to start on fire itself or the siding's going to start melting and what. So then we got another fire happening then. Then we got another. Then all of a sudden we got four, and then we got five, and then we got six. You see the philosophy here. The more fires you have inside of you, the more poor decisions you make, the more Satan causes you to make these decisions, you start spreading the fire. Who's this? I didn't just throw this in there to see if you guys were paying attention. Smokey the Bear, boy. And dating back some people. I don't know if current youth, do you know, you ever seen Smokey the Bear? Okay. I tried to go on YouTube and actually get the commercial when he talks, but I couldn't get it. What does he say? Only you can prevent forest fires. Only you can control the fire inside of you before it goes to other people. Only you can do that. He actually had some pretty good advice. This song by Cutlass, I love it. This is the main chorus from the song, Strong Tower. I'm not going to sing because you don't want to hear me sing. You are my strong tower, shelter over me. Beautiful and mighty, everlasting King. You are my strong tower, fortress when I'm weak. Your name is true and holy, and your face is all I seek. He is our strong tower. He's our fortress when we're weak. He tells us that. We need to turn to Him. The Lord's Prayer, lead me not into temptation. We say that, do we just say it, or do we mean it? Do we pray that God doesn't lead us into temptation? He won't, but Satan's going to do his darndest too. This is an ongoing process. We will never have temptation stop. We will always make some decision that it will cause our fire to get larger. Now we can start decreasing the amount of fires inside us. As I said, turning to Scripture, turning to prayer, turning to support groups, turning to accountability partners. Just because you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior doesn't mean you're going to make perfect decisions the rest of your life. Case in point, for those of you who don't know me too well, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior on March 23rd, 1993. Approximately a year and a half later, in the summer of 1994, late summer, during a softball game, I made a decision to harm another player. I ended up harming myself. I look back at that. It was both good and bad. The bad, I have a 14-inch rod in my leg that's going to stay there the rest of my life. The good definitely overshadows the bad. Ever since that day, I made that decision. I've never played the game of softball. I've never approached life with the same philosophy of just winning. I never approached for personal success. I've never approached for personal glory. It's all about others. It's all about glorifying others. It's all about glorifying Jesus Christ through what you do. The decisions you make directly reflect Jesus Christ in you. How can you short God if you proclaim Jesus Christ as your Savior to say, hey, I'm just going to keep on making these decisions and I don't care how big my fire gets. I don't care if it's going to hurt my neighbor. I don't care if it's going to hurt my relatives. I don't care. You better care. Jesus Christ loved you so much. He chose each and every one of you. I'm not saying that's the only bad decision I made in my life. I've made many more. I probably made a couple this week. We make them constantly. I love this verse. Mark 14:38. Watch and pray, so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Our spirit, it's not the capital S, it's not the Holy Spirit, it's our spirit. Our spirit is willing. We proclaim it from our mouth that we're willing, but the body's weak. We're going to fall every time if we don't go back and seek Christ to help us with our decisions. What you need to do is just simply ask Jesus for help. Most of us here are believers. We've accepted Jesus Christ, but it doesn't stop there. We battle Satan ongoing. We have this model of a fire in us all the time. And as soon as temptation and our free will causes that fire to get larger, we're in trouble. Simply ask Jesus for help. What I would like to do is ask the guitar player, please, for eternal perspective. I forget your name. Oh, there he is. They swapped on me backstage. They thought it was going to be him. There's two tables up here. If you're currently struggling with decisions today, this past week, past month, and I'm telling you, Satan loves today's times. You are just one click away on the internet. You are just one touch away on your iPhone for making a bad decision in your life. That's not only going to affect you, it's going to affect your family. Satan's he's having a field day with all this media, this multimedia that we're doing nowadays. How can we do one click on that internet, going to a site we shouldn't be going to, or saying something about someone on through text messaging that we're not supposed to? You might think it's an innocent remark to someone. They might go out and commit suicide because you said that one thing about them. Do you love Jesus Christ the way you say you do? Think about your decisions. Decisions aren't fly by night. You might think it's a minor decision. You might think it doesn't matter. Your decisions need to be Christ-centered as much as possible. You're not going to get them total. I'll tell you that right now. Strive to get as many as possible. The more you decrease your bad decisions, the more you increase the good ones. It's a fact. It's a fact. There's two tables up here. When he starts playing, if you make a decision tonight just to say, Christ, Jesus, I just constantly make bad decisions. There's some fires inside of me that I just can't control, or there's just multiple little fires that I just want you to help control. You can either come down this aisle or this aisle. What I want you to do is take a match out of the box. Strike the match. While that match is lit, just say these simple words, Jesus, help me. Help me with my decisions. As soon as you say that, extinguish it in the bowl of water. Take a baggie. Put that match in that baggie. Put that baggie somewhere in your wallet, in your purse, in the glove compartment of your car, somewhere where you're going to see it. And when you see it, you're going to say, Jesus, I came to you for help. I made this decision. It's going to be a reminder to help you through these decisions through our daily perspective. And if tonight you never accepted Christ as your Savior and you say, I want what He has to offer. I want my eternal soul not to burn. Come do the same thing and say the same words and accept Christ into your heart and come find myself or Pastor Bob or Bob or someone and we'll pray with you. But please, even if you just make that decision to help Jesus, help you with these small decisions in your life, you might think they're small. They're not. Satan's trying to get at your core. He is going to use everything he can to use against you.